I'm with Josh Trenary from Indiana Pork. And Josh, we've got a bill going through the State House right now. And, you know, we talked about this on Hoosier Ag Today not too long ago about the definition of ultra-processed foods and how that might impact things at the national level with Baja. It's impacting things here at the local level now, too. Can you explain?
Yeah, sure. So we've been watching the ultra-processed food conversation for a while now because you see definitions popping up in the states. There's at the state level in some states, there's a national classification system that folks use, or an international classification system called NOVA that gets used. And then they're mulling over what that federal definition is going to be. And ag needs to have a hand in that conversation. And it was very evident here this morning when the House Education Committee had a hearing that involved ultra-processed food. The author put forth a list of, as Representative McGuire, put forth a list of food additives that are used in the processing of food products as ones that if a food product included these additives, it should be banned from public schools. And if there are health risks inherent in a product and our kids shouldn't be consuming that product, philosophically, that's not the thing we have a problem with. The problem comes when you're only relying on that list of additives and nothing else to determine what should be regulated in that fashion. So if you have a nutrient-dense food, and since the pork people pay me, I'll talk about pork. But if you have a nutrient-dense food like sausage or something, and one of the chemicals in the list that they talked about today was BHT. And we use BHT when we process some of our products because it helps fat from going rancid. Well, there's very different types of processing out there. And if you're using processing technology or a chemical to make a nutrient-dense food like a pork product more shelf-stable or to maintain its nutrient availability or increase its shelf life, then what you're doing is you're helping the consumer have access to that nutrient-dense food. So the context and the reasoning for the processing and what type of food you're processing is just as important as what chemicals you're using in the processing. And so if there's going to be any type of regulation in this space, that whole dynamic has to be taken into account. It can't just be the list of additives, and it can't just be a consideration of which foods. It has to be a combination. Is this food a valuable, nutrient-dense product? Why are we processing it? And then what are we processing it with? But unless you're looking at that whole picture, we're missing the boat on regulating in this space.
What's the simple fix for this? Obviously, the bill is about trying to keep students healthy, what they're eating in lunch. What is the simple fix for this that can make sure that they're still able to, you know, get this incredible product, pork, that we all love to have on our plates, but make sure that some of those other things aren't getting in schools? What's the simple fix here, Josh?
Yeah, so a couple things. And what we pushed for, or what I pushed for this morning, was just what I said, a consideration that, yeah, you may deem this list of additives an important consideration on whether or not to regulate food, but we also want you to consider which food you're regulating and why it's getting processed with that product, and use that whole combination of factors to determine if there's relevant risk that needs to be addressed. The other thing I would say is that it's important, especially as, you know, federally and in all kinds of different contexts now, scientific fact kind of gets twisted and skewed, right? And part of that is this idea of a risk-based approach versus a hazard-based approach. And so we have to take that into context too, because if you're using risk-based science, then you're trying to figure out if there is a reliable level of evidence to ensure the safety of the product. But if you're like the EU, they're using a precautionary hazard-based approach when they look at these types of products or these types of chemicals. And if they're only looking at a hazard-based approach and not accounting for actual harm that they could cause, then they're missing the picture. So you have to take into account what kind of study that is being used when these types of products get deemed with a health concern when they're put in a bill like this. Because if it's using that more EU-style, overly cautious approach, that's not how Indiana, or it's not how the United States does risk analysis. And we have to take that into account, too.
So, Josh, what's the call to action for pork producers around the state, for farmers around the state, that this could potentially have an impact on other types of agriculture, right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that, because I think the easy thing to do if you're made aware of this bill is to look down through that list of additives they're talking about and say, I don't see anything here that involves any of my products, so I think this is okay. What I would ask is that you consider it a little more deeply and think about, we need to really press our legislators to make sure that they're using a risk-based scientific approach versus a hazard-based scientific approach when they're looking at the scientific studies to determine if an additive ought to be on that list. That's a simple thing that we ought to require them to do. And then also ask that in any context, they also take into account the qualities of the food product that is being processed. And if it's a nutrient-dense food that's a great protein source or something else, that be considered differently than just what we would colloquially term as junk food. And consider whether that processing makes sense for that product if we're trying to preserve a health benefit or keep shelf life because we're trying to distribute that nutrient-dense food out to people. And I think if people start asking questions about those two dynamics, then we'll get better policy than just adopting a list of additives without context.